thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
How y'all doing? I'm about to cry right now. I ain't gonna lie with you. Just seeing family. I'm not saying there are people here. I'm just saying, but seeing, whew, man. Hey, band, great job. Worship team. Man, God, that was so good. Well, anyway, good to see y'all. So if you don't know me, that's okay. My name is Paul, but right over here, unless you're live streaming, it's on the right side. My wife's Natalie right over there. She is the bling of the king, my heavenly honey bun sanctified sweetheart, my Bible-believing baby. Love you, sweetheart. All right, so if you got your Bibles, here we go. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 35. And while you're getting there, I'm going to tell you a little story. So we got five kids, and originally we're from Mississippi, for those of you who don't know, and we're here in Columbia, South Carolina now, but on my property, we have a little over 8 acres out in the country in Raymond, Mississippi, and there's a little pond out in the front out there, and we had at one point when the kids were much younger, we had this problem with geese, okay? So they would come in, and they would fly in from Canada or wherever they're coming from. I really don't know where geese come from, but they're coming in there, and they're landing, and that's okay. Like, that's cool. I'm down with geese landing on the pond, but the problem is, if you know anything about geese don't stay on the pond. They come in on the yard, and they tear it up, and here's how they tear it up. How do I say this? They drop goose bombs. You got what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Everywhere. And if you know anything about Mississippi, Joseph Brinkley, but anyway, if you know anything about Mississippi, we don't really wear shoes, right? So the kids don't wear shoes. Chandler, it's true. You know, you're from Georgia. You got what I'm talking about. So, but you don't wear shoes. I'm like, I don't want that stuff out in the yard. Like, I have no desire for that to happen. So what I did is I over a period of about a month, I won't tell you how I did that. I mean, I will say it involved a rifle and a propane tank. But anyway, I'm just saying. So I eventually got the geese where they could recognize me. True story, by the way. Recognize me so that when they flew in, if I was out there and they saw me, they wouldn't land. They would fly away. Okay? So they knew me. They knew who I was, right? They knew who Big Papa P was. They knew my work, right? So anyway, about a month later, me and Levi, my oldest son, who was at that time probably, I don't know, 2 maybe. Well, he's 10 now. So we were sitting on the porch, and all of a sudden I hear it. I hear those geese. And I thought to myself, no, they ain't gonna do it. It's been a month. They land on that pond. I said, oh, heck no. So I get down, and they land on it, and I see them coming to the edge of the water. They said, they didn't do all that. I said, uh-uh. I said, Levi, it ain't gonna happen, right? I said, Levi, phenomenal parenting, by the way. I'm just giving you a tip for the future. I said, Levi, go down to that water where those geese are and scare those geese away. 2 years old. He looks at me and goes, I said, Levi, I said, why are you so afraid, son? I said, trust me, right? He goes, uh-uh. I said, son, just trust me. So he does. He gets down off that porch. I still remember like it was yesterday. And that boy starts taking a step, all right? He starts taking a step towards that water. And he gets about halfway there. And y'all, those goose start buffing up like this. And they start going, like, you know, like that. You know, like they start doing that? And Levi turns and hightails it back to the porch. He's just sitting there, you know, shaking. And I look at him, I said, son, I said, why are you so afraid? Trust me. You see, in those moments, Levi, he heard what I had done. He had spent, maybe 2 years with me at this point. He'd heard things that I'd done. He knew he was growing to know who I was. But the question in this moment was, has it sunk in? Has the things that he's been around me sunk in deep down to where he was learning in that moment, would he trust me? Would he take me at my word and trust my work that I had done with those geese, right? But in that moment, fear took over. And he had a choice to make. Fear. That's what I wanted to talk a little bit about it for a minute. And I don't mean just like fear of geese. I don't mean like normal fears, like fear of spiders or fear of whatever, snakes or fear of, I don't know about you, fear of water you cannot see underneath you. Anybody? I'm just going to put that out there. Real talk. You know what I'm talking about? Real talk, bro. I got you, man. Jaws ruined my life. Burner. Terrible. Hey, can't think about it right now. Focus. But I'm talking about heart fears. Heart fears are this. Now, this is something I've made up, so if you don't like it, y'all can, you know, slash it later on. But heart fears are this thing right here. It's anything in our life deep down personally, not just corporately, but personally, that has the tendency to distract us, to freeze us, to stop us, to whatever that word might be for you, in learning to follow and trust Jesus today in His word and His work. Learn to take God at His word. Learn to see God and believe God for who He is right now, today. That's a heart fear. That can be anything. Now, I don't know if I should do this, but here's a couple for me. There's just a couple because I got like 60,000, I believe. Here's some things that might distract me in my life, in my walk with Christ, that take my focus off of Him. Here's the first one, ready? So the first one for me is fear of getting it wrong, right? So, and like I said, I know we got the manual, right? I know that. But even in that, I wrestle with in my own life, like even being up here, like, man, what if I got plenty of people to tell me, but like, what if in my life and in my marriage and in my raising kids and in my talking with people, like, what if in the end, like, what if I get it wrong? Lord, what if I say something that's not from you? Yeah, well, Paul, you just trust Him. Well, yeah, I know that. That's good. But in that moment, I have to learn, Lord, who are you? Because that heart fear could have very easily kept me home today and not come this morning. You see what I'm saying? Like, you don't know. Like, I'm getting up there tearing up at that song, like, great is your faithfulness going. That's the only reason I can get up, because my eyes have to be up, because if my eyes are on me and on circumstances, I'm terrified, even though I know most of you and so love you deeply. And those watching live stream love you too. But you know what I'm saying? Like, but that's a heart fear for me, y'all. I mean, that is real in my walk with Christ, and it so distracts me and can cripple me. Another one is fear of failure. For me, I don't like failure. You don't have to be an athlete. You can be anybody for that mentality to happen. I don't like to fail. And maybe deep down there's some other things under that. I'm sure there is. There's some goose feet under the water churning in my heart. I get it. But there is a real fear of failure that has that tendency to freeze me and stop me from being all in with Christ today, right? Instead of and learning to take Him at His word and His work. What are your heart fears? How about something like this? Maybe this is you. How about this one? How about fear of the future? Can I get a witness? How many times have you been asked, hey, what you going to do when you graduate? And internally, you have just knocked that person in the face in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, right? What you going to do when you graduate? Where you going to work? What your ministry going to look like? Where you going to play? Who you going to marry? Right? I mean, here's the problem. The heart fear of what I mean by that, the heart fear of that is for anybody that might have this one as the one, right, that has that tendency to go, what do I do? It's almost like there's this blanket, not from CIU, of course, but that there's this blanket over all of us of God's people right now. Maybe it's you that you have to have it all figured out. There's this stress and there's this pressure to go, oh man, you're following God, boom, what you gonna do? And that might shrink you in, that might push you inward to go, I don't know what to do. And then from there, you might have all this, the fear of doubt. Like you're learning to figure out, wait a minute, I'm watching my friends get engaged. I'm watching them know what they're called to do. I'm watching how I know they're gonna put their degree into practice. I don't know, so there's this doubt. Will God be faithful to me like He is to them? You know? Will God be for me who He is to my friends? Or my parents? And so there's this fear and this doubt going, wait a minute, does God really love me like He does someone else, like He says? And we're all learning how to balance that. We're all learning like all this going on. And then from there, we're trying to figure out our faith, make it our own. We're trying to figure out what our theology needs to be. And here's the real kicker for me sometimes is, man, I'm trying to get my theology just right. Like, how do I do that? And in a culture that breeds doubt, that's really hard. I don't care what school you go to, you know? But we're all trying to figure this thing out. Well, what if I get it wrong? What if I... It's a heart fear. And then we also have this thing that I think we struggle with, and I think we're afraid because we struggle, or we're afraid because it's so easy. Some of us are really wrestling with sin. I'm not talking about somebody who doesn't know Christ. I mean, for me, anybody that doesn't know Christ, the call is come home to Jesus today. Duh. I mean, His love will cast out fear. But for the vast majority, we got these sins that are secret, that are killing us, and we're afraid to come out of hiding. See, we fear repentance when in the beginning, the whole idea of the Bible is repentance is a gift. It's not to be feared or shamed. It's meant to be embraced. And among the people of God, it's meant to be embraced. But there's that. Or maybe the darkness and the heaviness that you feel over your life or over the campus, will it be like this forever? Will I have hope? Is it going to stay like this? And then maybe that might lead to loneliness, which might be one of the number one fears that people face. Loneliness. Will I be? Not, I'm not talking about introverted loneliness. They're like, oh, praise God. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about real, legit loneliness. Will anybody care? Ladies, is God really after my good? Will he really look at my gifting and calling and know and honor that? Like, will he take care of me? That's a big deal. And then maybe we have this fear that we have to make ourselves so busy and overcommitted. Right? And I think it's all because of a heart fear, because deep down there's this FOMO, there's this fear of missing out, because our identity is shaped by what we do and what we see, and bing, I gotta see it, because if I don't, then I'm missing out over here. If I don't, then I gotta know all the answers biblically. I gotta know all this stuff. And Jesus says, I didn't ask you to know all the answers, I asked you to know me, because I am that answer and I will show you, right? So with all this stuff going on, and watch this is what we're doing. And that heart fear has now begun to sink so deep in us and begin to shape who we are. So what's your heart fear? What is that personal fear that has the tendency in your life to take focus off of Christ? Well, if you look in your Bibles, I'm so pumped about this for y'all. It's like family time right here. This is so good. We're going to look at some dudes. Now, ladies, it's for you too. Don't get wrong. It just happens to be 12 guys, right? It happened to be 12 disciples who had their own heart fears, right? Who had their own, maybe not geese on the water, but other situation on the water, of what their father was asking of them. So let's look at it, verse 35. Here we go. Y'all ready? On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let's go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat just as he was. Now let's make a note here. They're obeying Jesus. When we come into what we're about to read, they're doing exactly what God told them to do, just like you are and I am. They're doing it, right? So here we go. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And once again, let me remind you, those of you I know that have heard it, if you want to be like Jesus, Jesus took nap, go take naps in Jesus' name. Praise God, right? You know that. You've heard that. It's a t-shirt about that. So you just let you know. It's in the Bible. So he was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? Or some translators might be drowning. Verse 39, and he woke and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus said to them, as he says to us, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Meaning, trust me. And they were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, who is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. And you got these 12 disciples that Jesus called. They've been with him for a little time now, right? Kind of like Levi with me for a little time. He's been with me a little time. They've heard him say some different things and some cool things. They've heard some of his teachings. They've seen some of his miracles. They've seen him do certain things. So now it's this situation of the things they've heard and the things they've seen with Jesus. Has it taken root? Has it sunk in to their hearts? And this is a situation that's going to show that, just like any situation in our life does, right? So here we go. Let's look at it. So now, who's in the story? Real quick. Who's in the story?
Jesus.
Yeah, oh, good answer. We're done. Let's have a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you. Let's pray. Jesus is in there, always right. Who else is in there? Disciples, right? How many of them are there? 12 that we know of. Anyway, so it gets good. I'm just picking. There's just 12. Who else is in the boat? Is there another boat in the story? You got to look at your Bible. Is there another boat in the story? Yes, another boat in the story. What's happening on the boat? What's Jesus doing? Sleeping. What's going on around them? There's a big old storm. We're talking about big daddy storm, okay? And what are the disciples doing? They're panicking. Anybody want to try to imitate that? No, I'm not doing that. Anyway, but there's a lot of panic, right? Because this is a doozy. Now, here's the question. What are they panicking about? I want you to think about that. What are they actually afraid of? What's their heart fear here? Death and drowning, and that Jesus is asleep and appears uninterested. Now, I want you to think about it. They're drowning. Their mentality, the term here for perish or drowning, the term here is the same term used in John 3:16 for perish. They literally going, we're in the process of perishing, being destroyed, and ruined. And let's be honest, it feels like that so much when it comes to fear, doesn't it? Like, it's like Esau, I'm so hungry, I'm about to die. I mean, no, you're not. I mean, but it feels that way. You know what I'm saying? But here they are, they're in the boat, and the one they have left everything for is taking a nap. And they're rowing. I mean, they're getting after it. They're obeying, right? This is what they told them to do, right? They're rowing. And all of a sudden, this huge storm comes up, something they may not have expected, even though it might have been common, but they may not. That day, Jesus is like, well, we're following him. I don't know. And so all of a sudden they're rowing and they're rowing and they're rowing and they look over and Jesus is asleep. Now, how many of us, personally, if we're real talking here, how many of us today, in the last couple years, does it look like Jesus is asleep and uninterested in our lives personally? Does it look like, man, do you really care? Knowing that he does, with everything that's been going on personally and globally, and doesn't it feel sometimes like either Jesus is asleep and uninterested? Is he dead? Like, does he care? But that caused fear because the one they left everything for was asleep. And in this moment, you ready? Here it is. You ready? Whew, here's what they're afraid of. They believed that they were about to perish. Jesus is asleep. We don't know what's going on there. If Jesus is asleep, or if he's not real, or let's just say he's not interested, then guess what? It's all on you. You see what I'm saying? So the disciples are rowing and rowing because he's asleep. I got to do this. And in the end, they come to this great realization that no matter how hard they try, no matter how hard they row, no matter what they do, no matter how much they obey, they're just not good enough. They know that they're going to die and meet God, and it ain't going to be good. You see? I mean, how much of our lives look like that? Not so much in a salvific sense or salvation sense, but how much of what we just talked about with our fears, the future, marriage, all these things, how much of that does it seem like God's not doing it in our time and in our way? So therefore, you ready? It's all on us. It's all on me. I've got to make this happen. I've got to go try to fix my future. I've got to go try to make this sin go away in my life and just bear through it and keep rowing. I've got to try to find out who I'm going to marry. I've got to do it because I don't know. God's not doing it in my time. Maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's not going to do it like somebody else. We think that way. We do. And we just keep rowing harder and burning ourselves out because we're living and thinking and believing that all of this life is on me. And on you. And here's what they do. At least they go to Jesus. At least they went to Jesus. They wake him up. Teacher, don't you care? We're perishing. And Jesus gets up and he goes, shh, and calms it in a moment. Because at any time he can do that, right? At any time it happens, his power, he goes, peace. How many of us today need peace in what we're wrestling with and what we're walking through in our path of obedience? How many of us need Jesus to be our peace today? And that's what he offers. That's who he is. He wakes up and he calms the storm. Peace, be still. And now I want you to watch what happens. Look what happens here. The disciples go, who is this? Who's in the boat with us that even the wind and the waves obey him? Now watch what happens. The fear of it all being on me, the fear of it all being on them, the fear that it's going to die and it's not going to be good, that they know they're not enough, the fear that all of a sudden changes from here to here to here, from me to circumstances upward to God. They look at it and go, who is this that even the wind and the waves, the thing that is my greatest heart fear, that causes me to look at me and other things more than God, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? It's a good question. And maybe we kind of get distracted because heart fears distract us from that, doesn't it? Because the Psalm says, Psalm 107 and Psalm 89, it says that there's only one being that can calm the storm, and that's God. So why could these disciples trust him? Why can I trust him today with whatever's going on in my heart or around me? Why can I trust him? Because Jesus is God. Who's in the boat with him? They may not realize it yet, but who's in the boat with him is flowing through his veins is the blood that covers their sin. Not just once, but every day. Who's in the boat with him is going to be their righteousness before God. Who's in the boat with them is their good shepherd who knows how to lead them and guide them in the right paths for his namesake. Who's in the boat with them is their creator. Who's in the boat with them is God. And he says, I'm right here. So you see, there's only one being that can calm our fears. There's only one love that can drive out fear. And that's Jesus, who is God himself. And so that fear and all is the awe that I want to overcome my soul and my heart each and every day as I learn to trust Christ. Y'all remember Levi? So I'm out there and I said, Levi, I said, son, why are you so afraid? Trust me. So he had a decision to make. So he gets out, that boy starts bobbing. I said, little blonde head's there, but he's blonde. He's bobbing down there and he's going, and those geese see him and they start flapping him wings again. He takes a stop and he keeps taking a step, one step, one more step, right? And he starts going, and all of a sudden those geese start charging after him. And I went, oh dear. So I get out, he didn't see me at the time. I get out, so he's here. I get out behind him where he can't see me, but the geese look at him and they see me. And those geese are flying and running towards him about to attack him, and they see me and they dart off and they fly away. And Levi's just sitting there like this, just watching them geese. I'm turning my head, by the way, live stream, to the left, and watching those geese. And all of a sudden he turns around, he goes, raises his hands and he goes, yeah! Now let's break that down. Levi had a heart fear. He's learning in that moment, is my daddy who he says he is? Has my daddy done what he says he's done? Is his words for me enough in that moment? And all that Levi can do is he took a step and he trusted that I was the one who I said I was in that moment. I did what I said I was going to do. I didn't ask Levi to defeat the geese. I'd already done it. They didn't know him. They know me. You see? And then in that moment, I simply asked Levi to take a step, not for that victory, but from and with that victory. That's all I asked. Why? Because I was right there. You see what I'm saying? I wasn't asking Levi to do any of that. I'm asking him to face the geese in his life that's right in front of him, to face his fear. Why? Because I was with him. And I'd already taken care of it. And I just simply asked him to trust me, to take me at my word and my work. And let me tell you, let's think about this. That's exactly what Jesus is all about. He's not asking you to be great. He is great. He's not asking you to be God. He's not asking me to be God. Praise God, it would be awful. But let me be honest, I have tried in my mind, not just with my word, not going, I'm God, but I sure have tried to put it all on me. Tried to raise my kids thinking, I got this. And it's a pretty big disaster. Jesus is God. And he's not asking us to let our fears, like to shake inside in fear. He's not asking us with the culture, you got to change the culture. You got to change the world. There's so much potential. He's not saying that to you. He is simply asking you to take a step with him and trust him as God. And let him be him. And you just simply be his. Take a step. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I trust you. So, Lord, even the demons believe and shudder with fear. Help us to believe deep down, because that's what we're wrestling with, God. Deep down, we are all wrestling to believe that you're God. We're all wrestling that way. So, Jesus, I trust you. Whatever area in my life today, in people's lives here, people's life watching, whatever area that is, whatever fear that is, or fears, Jesus, you're God. And let us say in faith and confidence, one step, one day, one moment at a time, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, we trust you. In Jesus' name.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.